This is Radio Labour.
Qatar, one of the Gulf states, is preparing to host the World Cup of football, soccer, in 2022. But the people doing most of the work to help the country get ready are thousands of migrant workers. Sharon Burrell, the General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation, the ITUC, recently visited Qatar. She found that the workers were living in appalling conditions and employed in dangerous jobs for low pay. I talked to Tim Noonan about the situation for migrant workers in Qatar. Mr. Noonan is the Director of Campaigns and Communications for the ITUC. I asked him how the migrant workers in Qatar were being treated.
Well, Mark, as listeners may know, the vast majority of the population of Qatar is in fact migrant workers, some 94%, well over a million people. We've been intensively looking at the situation in Qatar, even prior to the time that FIFA awarded Qatar the 2022 World Cup. So we had a good idea of the nature of working life for people in Qatar, the kind of exploitation and conditions of work and of living that the migrant workers, most of whom come from South Asia, are experiencing. But I have to say, after meeting Sharon, even talking to her while she was there, and in the debriefing when she returned from Qatar, even Sharon was shocked at the stories and the degree of exploitation that exists there. You know, there's a whole set of issues, but the principal one really is that the government of Qatar takes no responsibility for these workers. So when it comes to a question like what wage should a worker earn for doing a job, in a normal country, there's a process whereby wages are set in some kind of national process, ideally through obviously collective bargaining and social dialogue. That's not how they do it in Qatar. In Qatar, the government says to the governments of the sending countries, the countries where the migrants are coming from, you should set the wage for the migrant workers. This is really quite incredible, and it's a form really of modern day slavery, modern day forced labour, which means that the government takes no responsibility whatsoever. There are no union rights in Qatar for migrant workers. There are some very limited rights for Qatari nationals who comprise a small percent of the overall workforce, but migrant workers are actively excluded from those rights, those very limited rights that even exist for Qatari nationals. What does that mean in practice? What it means is that in the world's richest country, this is a country that has an average per capita GDP, an average income, I should say, for citizens of Qatar, something like $90,000 per year. Migrant workers are paid $300-$400 a month, very often less, and in many cases not at all. The accident and mortality rates in the construction sector in Qatar are staggering. Now, it's not easy for people to find out about this because the Qatar government doesn't collect and publish statistics on this. But we know from research in the countries of origin of the migrant workers, Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, and a number of other countries, that several hundred workers every year die because of the incredible exploitation they suffer at work. They work in incredibly hot conditions, particularly those who are the vast bulk of the workforce who are working on construction sites and building the infrastructure that is turning Qatar into supposedly one of the world's wonder countries. They're working in temperatures as hot as 50 degrees during the day. They then, after very long shifts, 12 hours often, returning to despicable accommodation arrangements, in many cases without any air conditioning, very poor hygiene. Workers are dying in their sleep, they're dying on the job, and virtually nothing is being done by the Qataris authorities about this. It's an absolute disgrace.
What is the ITUC asking Qatar to do?
We have approached FIFA, who made the decision to award the World Cup to Qatar. We've approached the organising committee in Qatar. Sharon met with them, and Sharon Burrow met with them, and she was there recently. And, of course, with the Qatari government at a very high level, to ask them to insist that they move and that they introduce laws and procedures that protect workers and that allow fundamental workers' rights to organise, to collective bargaining and to health and safety protection at work. The authorities haven't moved. FIFA itself has called on the Qatar government to respect international labour standards set by the ILO. We've had a number of brush-offs from the Qatari government. They offered to show us some new legislation that was in the middle of 2012, so more than 6 months ago. Nothing has been forthcoming from them, so there's still no protection at all for these workers. So we've had a very close look, and we're doing some very deep research into the massive infrastructure program. There's something in the order of $130 billion being spent on the grand plan for Qatar's infrastructure development, and that's all focused for the next 10 years around delivering the World Football Cup, the FIFA World Cup. This is about the renovation and the construction of football stadiums. It's about the infrastructure, the roads, the rail links, the accommodation that goes with hosting a World Cup, such a big international event.
I understand that the ITUC is conducting a campaign to help the migrant workers in Qatar. Tell us a bit about that.
Our news website that you may be familiar with, Equal Times, has been running a lot of news stories and features and background information on the situation in Qatar. And if you go to that website, equaltimes.org, on the top right-hand corner of the site, there's a button that says invites people to join by taking a seat in the Al Rayyan Stadium. So they just simply have to click on that link. That takes them through to the campaign website, and there you can register and join in the thousands of other people from all over the world who've already taken a seat in the stadium. When we have enough people in the stadium, then we will start to work with the people who sign up to the campaign to mobilise pressure on the Qatar government. That can be done through online activity by signing petitions, sending messages to the Qatar authorities. But we're also encouraging people to take offline activities. So a number of our national affiliates already are talking to their national football federations. The Norwegian trade unions recently had the national coach of the Norwegian football team join the campaign on national television and commit the Norwegian soccer community to support these fundamental rights and to have a World Cup that is not built on the blood of workers. So there are what we would call offline and online, traditional trade union work, lobbying, campaigning, talking to people in the sporting community, getting players and officials involved in support of these exploited workers. And people can do, as we call it these days, clicktivism, where they're able very simply and very easily in many, many different languages, and we're continually increasing the number of languages on that Qatar campaign site, to join in electronic actions, which we'll be launching over the next few months. The principal focus for the first part of this year is going to be on FIFA. the normal cycle for deciding the 2022 World Cup would be in the course of this year. We're saying to FIFA that if the Qatar government doesn't bring its standards into line with international practice, with the standards of the International Labour Organization, then FIFA should review the decision and be prepared to withdraw the hosting of the Cup from Qatar. We don't believe that spectators want to sit in stadia, in real stadia, that have cost so many lives to build, and we don't believe that players and officials want to be associated with that kind of tragedy either. So there's a real moral imperative on FIFA here, and there's an absolute requirement for one of the richest countries in the world, Qatar. They have so much, so many resources available. They could fix this problem in a very short space of time. The will is lacking. So everyone in the world, whether they have access to the internet or not, has the opportunity to find a way to join in this campaign to fix one of the great evils of the early part of this century.